We begin the current daf, Masechtas Nedarim, daf Lamed Tes. We begin on the bottom of the daf Lamed Ches Mabez, two lines up in the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the thread of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the halachas of between the Madr and the Mudr. When someone takes a neder, not forbidding things on himself, but rather forbidding someone else to have enough from him. So the Mishnah tells us, Hamudr hano mechaveiro. If someone is forbidden to have pleasure from his friend because of a neder that was made, now, v'nichnis levakra, and he comes in to visit him because he's ill, oimed avalo yeshev. He's allowed to stand there when he's visiting this sick person, but he's not allowed to sit. The Gemara will explain the reason for this discrepancy. Moreover, umarapa yirfuas nefesh, he's allowed to heal him, a healing of the soul, avalo yirfuas mamon, but not a monetary healing. Again, the Gemara will explain what this reference is to. Now, we continue on top of Lamed Tes and Aleph, where the Gemara asks, b'mayas kinan, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah regarding when there's someone forbidden to give him hana, but you're allowed to go ahead and visit him because he's ill, but you're just allowed to stand but not sit? So the Gemara explains the question. If we're talking about that the healthy person, the one who's coming to visit the ill person, is the madr to the mudr, he's forbidden to give any pleasure to the ill person, well then the question is, then even sitting should be permitted to be done when he's doing Bikur Chaylam. And the reason being is because, why do you let him stand there? The reason is because when he's coming to visit the sick person, he's not coming to give him anah, he's coming to fulfill a mitzvah of Bikur Chaylam, to visit the sick person, which is under the rubric of Gemilas Chasadim. Now, although, incidentally, of course, the sick person is going to have pleasure from the person who's visiting him, but that's permitted, as we mentioned in the previous stuff, because that's just incidental. That's not what the person is coming to do. Now, if that's the case, then even sitting should be permitted for that same reason, because the person just wants to fulfill the mitzvah bikur chaylam. Why could he only stand and not sit? And if it's the other way around, that actually the madr is the ill person, and the mudr is the one who's visiting, in other words, the one who's visiting the sick person is not allowed to have any pleasure from the sick person, well, then even standing shouldn't be permitted. In other words, because why would it be forbidden to sit? Because you're having pleasure from the person's chair, from his environment, from his home, wherever you're visiting him. So the same thing is even standing over there, because you're having pleasure from what's called in halacha drisus regal, being in his property. Now, although you're fulfilling a mitzvah, but you're not allowed to violate an isser of a nether to fulfill a mitzvah. So therefore, how do we understand this discrepancy that standing is permitted and sitting is forbidden, and that is either way, it shouldn't be one and not the other? As we explained, if the mevaker is not allowed to give hanot to the chayla, so then it should still be permitted, because doing a mitzvah is not giving him hanot, at least not directly, and therefore even sitting should be permitted. And if it's the chayla who's not allowed to give hanot to the mevaker, then he shouldn't be able to even stand there because he's in his property. So the Gemara gives three interpretations for the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, he says, La'olam b'shenichsi mevakar asur na l'chayla. The halacha is, when we're talking about the one who's visiting, is forbidden to give pleasure because of the nether to the sick person. Now, but we're talking about u'b'makim shenoitlin schar al yeshiva, where people generally take payment for visiting sick people when they're sitting there, but ve'ein noitlin schar al amida, but they don't take pay for standing over there. Well, now we understand the halacha. He's not allowed to sit there because then you're giving the person the hana of what he would usually have to pay for people to sit there and visit him. You're not taking that, so you're giving him that pleasure. Standing, no one charges for, so everyone does that, and he wouldn't have to spend money on that, and therefore, that's something you're allowed to do because you're not giving him hana. But the Gemara wonders, my Pascha, where did you see fit to make that? You gave a great explanation for the Mishnah, that would be the division, but why would that be the case? Why would it be that people take money for sitting and not for standing? So on that, the Gemara explains the Hakam Ashmalan, that actually this is what the Mishnah is teaching us, incidentally, from teaching this halacha, the af b'mokim shenoitlin schar, that even if it's such a location where people take payment for visiting sick people, it's ala yeshiva b'yil mishkal. You're only allowed to take, it's only appropriate if you're sitting there. Then you could take payment for visiting a sick person. Ala mida loy b'yil mishkal. But for standing, which is the basic mitzvah bikur chaylam, that's not appropriate to be taking money for, and that's why we divide the lines on sitting and standing. Now, the Ran explains, based on this, that the explanation is as follows, that there are places where they were stringent on themselves, because we find the Gemara saying that in a place where they take, well, then they only take for sitting and not for standing. So on that, the understanding is around explaining there are places that they were stringent on themselves. They didn't take payment for visiting a sick person, even for sitting over there. Now, although that is permitted, as the Gemara obviously made that division, because the primary mitzvah bikur chaylim is enough to just stand there. So you're allowed to take for sitting, but still they didn't want that it should come to a situation that you might come to charge for standing there, which is inappropriate. So that there were places that were stringent on themselves not to take payment for visiting the sick, even for sitting over there. Now, those places, the Ron explains, whether if the person that made a neder against the sick person, whether he's going to stand or sit there is actually permitted. The reason being is because for those type of people in those locations, even sitting is a fulfillment of a mitzvah, because those places don't charge, so they're not giving any hanah to the sick person. Now, however, what the Gemara is explaining is, however, but even in places where they're not stringent on themselves, even so, on the standing, you're not permitted to take, because that's inappropriate for a mitzvah to be charging for. Now, that's why the Tana went and divided on those lines and said that when you come to visit a sick person who is forbidden to have hanah from you, so no matter which place you're in, you're allowed to stand there, because that's just the fulfillment of a mitzvah. And when you're fulfilling a mitzvah, although obviously, incidentally, he's having pleasure, that's not what you're doing. Now, however, it's not in every place that you're allowed to sit. The reason being, because in a locale where they're not stringent on themselves regarding sitting, and they do take payment, so you're not just doing a mitzvah, it comes out that the sick person would have to pay him. And when the person doesn't charge him for sitting over there, it comes out that you're giving him pleasure. And that's why the Mishnah makes this division, because according to the basic halacha, you could charge for sitting over there, because that's not charging for the mitzvah, because for the mitzvah itself, you could just stand over there. So if you're sitting there and you're really spending time over there, so that you could charge for. And that's why if you're going to come and visit, and you're not going to charge, you're going to give him hanah, but for standing, which you can't charge, which is incidentally what the Mishnah is teaching us, that halacha, for bikur chaylim, you don't charge for the standing, and therefore that would be permitted from the madr to the mudr. That's one interpretation. Viba Yisema, the Gemara says, a second interpretation into the halacha of our Mishnah. Why would we differentiate between sitting and standing? And that's K'yub Shimon ben Elyakim. This is like the halacha of Shimon ben Elyakim, which is brought later on in the Mishnah of Membeis, which talks about when someone makes a neder forbidding to have pleasure from that person's fields. Now, although on the Shemitah year, everyone is allowed to go out into that person's field and take his fruits, because it's not really his in halacha. On that, the Rebbe Shmuel Yochum said, it is forbidden for the person who made the neder to go into that person's field, although it should be permitted because it's not his field really now in Shemitah year. The reason why it's forbidden is a gezeira, it's a decree, Shemayisha Ba'amida. You're right, you're allowed to go and take the fruits, but he might spend more time, he might stay there longer. That is not permitted already, because you can't live there, you're only allowed to go and take the fruits because of that concern, and he would be forbidden based on the neder to stay there the longer time. So even just walking in to take the Shemitah fruits is forbidden. So Hachaname, on that the Gemara says, similarly we could say it would be the explanation of the halacha of our Mishnah. It's a gezerah shemayisha b'yeshiva. It's a decree that maybe you might end up spending longer than what's necessary for the mitzvah bikur chaylim. Once you're sitting, you might spend a much longer time there. And therefore the halacha of a Mishnah is as follows. It's actually according to the second interpretation of the Gemara, going in all places. Even in the place where they don't charge for the bikur chaylim, not for standing and not for sitting. Now, although in such a place, according to the basic halacha, it should be permitted to do the mitzvah bikur chaylim, whether standing or sitting, because you're not charging, because you're not really giving the person any hanah, and you're just fulfilling a mitzvah, still we make a decree that for sitting is forbidden, because maybe you might stay there longer than what's necessary. You're going to get into a good shmooze, and you're going to stay there beyond what's in the framework of the basic mitzvah bikur chaylim. In such a situation that you're staying such a long time, there everybody would go ahead and charge for that type of the services, and therefore, since we're concerned you might stay there that longer time, which you are saving the person from spending money on you, that's a forbidden hanah. Now, however, regarding standing, there we don't make a gezeira that you might spend a longer time, and then that's something that should be charged, and you're not charging him, and therefore you'd be giving him hanah. The reason being is because since you need him to stand, so there's a hecker, there's an obvious sign over here that we know that he can't give him any hanah. That's why he's standing. Why he's standing? Take a seat. Oh, I can't stand. And therefore you would be aware, and therefore the person wouldn't come to spend that long of a time. In contrast, as Zoran explains later on over there in that sugya by Rabbi Shimon ben Elyakim, where their standing is a problem, even though it says over there that they might stay there too long, is because it's very normal when you're picking fruit to stand, and therefore it's not a hecker. And therefore, the person might still stay a longer time. Therefore, for there, it's asr. But regarding to the differentiation in our Mishnah between standing and sitting, it's because someone that's visiting the sick, he's just standing, we know that he can't stay long. But sitting, there's no hecker, and therefore he might stay a long time, which again would be something that is chargeable. And by not charging, he'd be giving hana'ah, which is forbidden. Ulama, he says the third interpretation in the halacha of our Mishnah. La'olam, the truth is, b'shenichzei chayla asur nal mavaka. We're talking about that it's the sick person that's not allowed to give pleasure to the one who's visiting him. No. Then the question is, like we mentioned before, if so, so then even standing should be forbidden because you're in his property, in his room. You can't be in what's called drisus regal because that's considered having enough from that person that you're visiting. But on that, Ula explains, we're talking about in such a case where the sick person didn't make a nether forbidding this person visiting from him, which is necessary for the lifeblood of the sick person. In other words, as Aran explains, he says, generally, a sick person, when he's going to make a neder against that person who wouldn't allow him to come visit him, he wouldn't make a neder in something which is necessary, like in this type of situation, where a sick person really enjoys and it's necessary for his well-being for someone to visit him. So although, yes, that person can't have any enough from them, which would include seemingly even Dries' regular just coming into his room, into his house, into his estate. But a nether, generally a person doesn't make things forbidden, which are necessary for his life. And therefore, since the visiting of that person to visit him is necessary for his life, therefore that wasn't included in the nether. Now, that the Gemara asks, then the guy should even be able to sit. Because again, it's necessary for people to spend time with him and make him feel better. So the mitzvah of Bikur Chayla makes him feel better, so why would sitting be forbidden? So that the Gemara says, no, because ha'af shebem mida, because it's possible for the guy to visit him standing, so he could have chiyusei by just a person standing, and therefore sitting would be giving him more pleasure than what he needs, and therefore that would be forbidden. The only type of pleasure that he's allowed to give to the person who's forbidden to have pleasure from him, which is something necessary for his chiyus, that's the standing, but not the sitting. So we have three interpretations in the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara asks me the following brayso on the first interpretation, that of Shmuel. The Brisa says as follows, Cholahu, if he becomes ill, nichnas lavakre, so the person could come visit him. Cholah benoi, if his son becomes ill, so then, shoyal b'shuk, he only could ask about him in the marketplace. So the Gemara explains as follows, Bishleim l'ula, we understand according to Ula's interpretation in the Mishnah, the Amah that he says, that what's the case conceptualization of the Mishnah, and seemingly the Brisa, which is expanding on the Aloch of our Mishnah, is b'shenichze choyla asur na'ala mavakre, it's when the sick person is forbidden to give to the one who's visiting him. We said, so how is he allowed to come visit him if he's coming into his house and the sick person can't give any pleasure, which includes this is regal to him? So we said, yeah, because he doesn't make the neder inclusive of things which apply to his chiyas, to his lifeblood. So according to the interpretation of Ula, Shaper, it makes sense that what the Bryce is differentiating between when he becomes sick, where then the person who is the mudur could come and visit him. And the reason being is because generally, as we said, from his own chiyus, he's not going to make the neder applicable. Whereas when his son is sick, then we said that that other person, the mevaker, could only ask about him in the marketplace, but he cannot come into this person's house because maybe from the chiyus of his son, he would make the neder. A person's own life, he wouldn't make a neder applicable. So I'm not going to give any anot to that person. Now, that means he can't come into your house. Oh, regarding my chiyas, of course he can come in. But for the son, that's person. A person's body is one thing. His son, although he loves him very dearly, but it's a different body. Maybe for that he made the neder inclusive, and therefore the guy cannot come in and visit his son. But he could ask about him in the marketplace. But El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel's interpretation, the Amad that he said, the case that we're discussing is b'shenichzim avakra asur na'al chayla, is when the one who's visiting, he's the one that's forbidden to give pleasure to the one who's sick. So then what would be the difference between the guy himself or his son? And as the Ran explained, to the contrary, it should be more permitted by the son because he's not the one that the neder was made on. He only made the neder on the sick person. So I'm not giving any pleasure to that guy, and then the guy becomes sick, so he wants to come visit him. So he said that he could visit him because it's a mitzvah, he just cannot sit. But the Bryce is saying he cannot visit the son. Why can't you visit the son? The neder wasn't even made against him. It was made against just his father. And as the Ran says, and even if you would say that the neder was made from the person and his son, but then still what would be the difference between him and his son? By both of them, you should say that he should be able to come in and do Bikur Chayim and stand there, because that's a fulfillment of a mitzvah. And that's not like the case of yeshiva, which we explained that because there you get paid, so that would be forbidden because you'd be giving pleasure. Why, according to Shmuel's interpretation, is it forbidden to visit the son? So now the Gemara says, Amalacha, Shmuel would tell you, Masnitin, the Mishnah, is where I said, B'shenichsim avakra asurin al-chayla. Like we explained, whereas when the person visiting is not allowed to give pleasure to the ill person, where standing is just a mitzvah, that's not giving him any direct pleasure. But sitting, we said, that would be giving because normally that's charged, and they wouldn't be charging, it'd be giving him, saving him that money. But Braisa, regarding the halacha of the Braisa, yes, I agree, it's b'shenichsei chayla asurin al-mavakar, that is talking about when the ill person, his estate is forbidden on the one who's coming to visit him. And that is, Shmuel says, I agree to your reasoning. That is because, yes, it would be permitted to visit the sick person, although the sick person can't give any pleasure to the one who's visiting him. Because, as Ula explained, from the chiyas of the sick person, generally he doesn't make that inclusive of the nether. Now, however, but Shmuel would tell Ula that, however, I take it one step further, that not only, like you're saying, that he wouldn't make it forbidden for the person to come visit him, which we said that therefore he could come stand there, which the Gemara asked, what do you mean? Then he should even be able to sit there. On that, the Gemara answered for Ula that no, since you could do it with standing, so therefore sitting would be giving a pleasure that maybe would be included in the nether. And that Shmuel says that no, if that would be the case, I say that even from sitting he wouldn't make a nether. Now, that's why Shmuel says, the Gemara is shortly going to explain, I can't say the Mishnah like the way you said it, that it's when the Nichsei Chayla are Asurin on Mavakar, like the way we're both agreeing the Bryce is talking about. Because if the Mishnah was talking about that same type of a case, then even sitting should be permitted. And the reason being is because since the sitting of the one who's visiting by the sick person is the Chiyus of the sick person, so then he would not have made that included in the Nedim, not like Ula who wanted to differentiate between Amida and Yeshiva. So therefore, since I can't say it's Toma, that's why, as Shmuel said, the first interpretation of the Gemara, he says when Kishenichse Mavakar Asurin ala Chayla. So now the Gemara explains what we just said. My Pascha. In other words, where did Shmuel see fit to differentiate the halacha, the case of the Mishnah, which is when the Nichse Mavakar Asurin on the Chayla, and the Braisa that he agrees to Ula is when the Nichse Chayla are Asurin on Mavakar? Why? Seemingly the Tana of the Braisa should be the same pattern as the Gemara had assumed in this question as the case of the Mishnah. So that Amar Rava, Rava explains like the way we just said it, that Shmuel, as the Ketan Tamad Beis, Masnitin Kashise. The Mishnah, its wording bothered him. Its halacha bothered him. Because my irid Tani Oimid Avalayesha, why did the Mishnah say that you could stand and not sit? As we just explained, although the Gemara differentiated for Ula, but Shmuel held that no. If you're telling me that for his chiyas, although he said, I can't give any anah to that person, which would therefore make forbidden for that person to come into my house because I'm giving him pleasure by being in my house. Oh, we're running my chiyas when I'm sick. Oh, no, of course that's not inclusive. Shmuel holds that would seemingly apply the same thing by standing and by sitting because I want people to sit and visit also. So why does the Mishnah differentiate? Obviously, it can't be told by the case of Nichsei Chayla Asun Al Mavakar. Shema Menah, and therefore rather Shmuel said, it's the Nichsei Mavakar Asun Al Chayla has to be told by when the one who's visiting is not allowed to give pleasure to the one who's sick. On that we said, to stand is permitted because that's a mitzvah and you're not doing it to give direct pleasure, whereas sitting, which people normally charge, as Shmuel explained, that would be giving hanah by not charging, and that is why that would be forbidden. Now the Gemara continues on a related discussion regarding the source of this halacha of the mitzvah of Bikur Chayla. So Amr Shlaka, she says, Remez le Bikur Chayla min ha-terminai. What's an allusion to this mitzvah of visiting sick people from a biblical source? So not the Gemara brings Shanim, like it says the Pasuk in Bamidbar. And this is when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about regarding the demise of Korach Va'adasai, who were contesting Moshe Rabbeinu's and Aaron's leadership. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Im kamois kala adam yamus neila," that if these people, Korach and his people, Dasam Avim, are going to die like everybody else, "Ufukudas kala adam ugeimer," and that what visits other people will visit these people, then what I have said is not true. And that's because Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say that they're not going to die a normal death. As we know, they were swallowed up in the ground. Now, therefore, the word of Fukudas is the visitation. As the Gemara explains, my mashma, what do you see from this pasuk that there's an element of visiting sick people. So Amar Rav, he says, because what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was as follows. Im kamois kola odim yemus and elef. These people will die like other people, meaning, shein chaylim, normally when people die, they become sick. Umatolim barisasin, and they lay there in their beds. Uvene adam mevakrinaisin, and people visit them. That's actually what the pasuk means when it says, ufakudas kol adam, that the visitations of other people will be yifkar aleim, meaning in the way the Rish Lakish is interpreting, is that because people visit them, because they're sick, not like it'll visit upon them like the calamities, is that people visit them when they're sick, and that is what the pasuk was saying, as the Gemara concludes Moshe Rabbeinu's statement, which again we found the source for this idea that when people become sick and they're about to die, people are visiting them. So Mahabriyas Aimim, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are people going to say if these people die a normal death? Lo Hashem shlachani l'zeh, that Hashem has not sent me to do this thing, because I guarantee you they're not going to die a normal death. Which again, which when people die, is people visit him, and that's the source, a remez for Bikur Chaylim. Now, related to this parsha of Karech Badase, Darsh Rava, Rava expounds, says there in the Pasuk, that in Bria Yivra Hashem, that if Hashem will make a creation, which as the Pasuk that concludes in Bamidbar Tezayin Lamed, says, Ufatzeso ha'adom espia, that the earth will open up its mouth, Uvala Isam Veskala Shalem, will swallow them up and all their what they have. The Yurdachaim Sha'il, they will go down living to Gehenim. Vidatim kiniatsu hanoshim eilas Hashem, and then everyone will know because these people have provoked Hashem. Now the Gemara Rava darshins the redundancy of Umbriya Yivra Hashem. Why don't you just say if Hashem will create one term? So on that Rava expounds, Umbriya Gehenim, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was that if Gehenim was created, Samutav Tia, it's good, it'll be there, it'll come to use. Imlav, if not, Yivra Hashem, Hashem will create it. So that's the redundancy. Imbriya, Yivra Hashem. If there is Gehenim, great, because it's going to come to use now because they're going to be swallowed up into Gehenim. If not, Hashem will make it now. On that, the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? Was Moshe Rabbeinu in doubt if there was such a creation of Gehenim to say that what's going to happen to Karech Ba'adasai now? But Vatani learned a braisam, Shiva Devarim Nivru Koid Mishan Nivru Oilim. There were seven things that were created before the world was created. Which the Ran interprets the meaning, what that means to say is that they entered, so to speak, the consciousness of the Creator before the world was created, that they should be created. And that is because the world cannot stand without these seven things, as the Chazal say in Bereishis Rabbah, that the thought of the Jewish people was before the thought of creating everything else. And therefore, the same thing applies to Gehenim, which is what the Gemara is asking on this interpretation of Rabbah, where it had to have been before you create a world, that there's going to be evil people and there's a place of Gehenim to be massacring them. Now, Elihan, what are these seven things? They are Torah, the Tshuva, repentance, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, the Gehenim, which is where the wicked people go to create their tikkun, Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory for Hashem, Ubeis HaMikdash, the temple, V'Shemei Shel Mashiach, and the name of the Messiah of Mashiach. As the Gemara illustrates them, Torah Dechsev, where do we find that Torah was created? Again, conceived before the world was created. Like it says the pasuk in Mishlei, it says Hashem kononi reishis darkei v'gam. Hashem made me the first thing of His path. Where the pasuk there concludes, kedem mif'alov mi'az. He made me before everything else. Tshuva d'chsev, repentance. Where do we know? It says like a pasuk in Tehillim, b'terem harm yuladu, before the mountains were made, v'tachayil v'gam, and there was earth. So the pasuk there continues and says, Toshav enesh ataka v'goymer, that you return man to pulp. And that's what the pasuk there concludes in Tehillim, Perek Tzadi, pasuk gimel, v'taymer shuv in the adam, and you say to people, repent. And that is again, as we find, that's b'terem harm yuladu, the tshuva was made before the world was created. Gan Eden, except the Garden of Eden, is like it says the pasuk in Bereishis. It says, v'yita Hashem alikim, gan me'eden mikedem v'goymer, that Hashem planted a garden in Eden from before. Gehenim d'chsev, like it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, ki aruch mi et mol tafta, because tafta was already prepared from before, which is Rashi explains in Yeshaya from the Gemara, that tafta is a reference to Gehenim, because whoever is seduced, which is the lashon of pitoy of mispata, he's seduced by his inclination, that's where he ends up in Gehenim. That was aruch mi et mol, that was made before the world was created. Ki se kavei d'chsev, how do we know the throne of glory? Like it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, says Nochin Kisacha Mi'az, your throne was prepared from before, and that is, as it says, "Me'olam ata," that it was always there from before the world. Beis Hamikdash, the temple, like it says in Pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Kisei Kavod," the throne of glory, "Mora Merishon," was elevated from before, where the Pasuk there concludes, "Makom Mikdashenu," is the place of our temple. So it's the same thing like the Kisei Kavod, which was created before the world was created. And finally, Shmoisha Mashiach, the name of the Mashiach, as it says in Pasuk in Tehillim, "He Shmoila Oilam Megamer," let his name be forever, where the Pasuk there says, "Lefnei Shemesh," before the sun, so before the world was even created, was already created the name of the Mashiach. So one thing is that we see that Gehenna was created before the world, so what was this, that as if Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if there's Gehenna, then fine. If not, Hashem will make it now. What do you mean? Obviously, the world couldn't be without Gehenna. Say, Elohachakam, rather, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Yes, of course there's such an element of Gehenna. But if there's an opening for people to get into there, then fine, because these people are going there. V'imla yivrashem. But if there's no mouth, Hashem will make the mouth now for Gehenna. But not the Gemara asks on that. But v'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Kehelos that says, in kol chodesh tachas Hashemesh, there's nothing new beneath the sun, meaning to say in this world, you cannot create something that never was here yet. And therefore, if there was no such mouth for Gehenna, no opening that people could get there, so then you can't create it now after the world was created. So what was this that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that if it's not here, it will be? So there the Gemara says, Hachikam, and what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was, yes, of course there's a mouth for an opening for people to get into Gehenna, but it was, Ihacha loy mikrav puma lahacha likar. What he was saying was that if there's a mouth for Gehenna, fine. If not, no, and he was saying that there is a mouth, but he's saying if the mouth is here, then fine. If not, then let the mouth come here. And that is, as the Ran explains, just making it closer is not included in Kol Chadash. It's not a new ex nihilo, it's not a new creation, it's just bringing it closer. So that's what he was saying, that the Imbriya Yivra Hashem. If the mouth is here, if the creation of the mouth for Gehenna is here, then fine, because this is where they're going. If not, Yivra Hashem, Hashem will bring that Bria of the mouth over here, and that doesn't violate any laws of the Bria. Another exposition from Darish Rava, Rava expounds in a related topic. V'amrilan, some say Amr B'Yitzchak there. B'Yitzchak said, Ma'idichsev, what does it mean the pasuk in Chavakuk that says, Shemesh Yireach Omed Zvula, the sun and the moon stood in their abode, where the pasuk there concludes, La'orchi tzecha yahalechu, to the light of your arrows they went, L'noiga barak chanisecha, to the light of their flashes are your spears. So the question is, Shemesh v'yireach b'zvul mai bayin, what are the sun and the moon doing in zvul, but v'ha b'rikia kavi? They're always established in rikia, and that is because there are seven different skies that go up all the way up, and it says in the pasuk, v'yitin oisim alekim b'rikia shemayim. The luminaries, the sun and the moon, is in the lower ones in rikia, and zvul is in the higher heaven, as the Gemara says in Masechet Chagiga Yud Beis Amud Beis. So why does it say that they were omad zvula if they're usually in a lower sky? So on that, Rava says, Malamet sh'olu shemesh v'yireach mirkiya lezvul. This comes to teach us that the sun and the moon went up from rikia all the way to the sky of zvul. V'amu l'fonam, and they went up higher to speak to Hashem. And they said, Ribbono shel Olam, master of the world, Im ata oisa din leven Amram, if you do justice for the son of Amram, for Moshe Rabbeinu with his fight with Korach, on the Meirim, then we're going to illuminate the world. Then love, if not, ain't on the Meirim, then we won't shine, light up the world. Now the Ran explains that, where do you see in this pasuk in Chavakuk a reference to the machlokes of Korach with Moshe Rabbeinu, is because the psukim there in Chavakuk are talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. And then it also says this pasuk that Machtis Roish Mibes Rasha, that you crush the head of from the wicked house, which is the understanding for to be Korach, who was contesting. And there then it says, Shemesh Yireach Omed Zvula, so that's what the Gemara interprets it to referencing to the sun and the moon standing up for the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, on that, the Rava says, Ba'isa Shah, Yara ben chitzim v'chanisis. At that moment, when the sun and the moon protested for the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem threw at them arrows and spears. And Amalam, he said to them, B'chol yoyim v'yoyim mishtachavim lachem. Every single day, there are people that are idol worshippers that bow down to you, the sun and the moon, and still va'atam me'irim, and still you should light up the world. B'chvoydi lo'machisim, for my honor, you don't protest. But for the honor of a flesh and blood from Moshe Rabbeinu, then you do protest? And therefore, every single day, Hashem throws arrows and spears at them, and they light up the world. Like it says over there at the end of the pasuk, la'or chitzechi halechu, that they go to light because of your arrows, and l'negi barak chanisecha, they shine up because of your spears. And that's because that they stopped, because of the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was what Hashem was saying by throwing the spears at them, that how can you not light up because of Moshe Rabbeinu, but yet light up even though there's my honor at stake over here, when people are serving the sun and the moon, which is you, and not bowing down to Hashem. So Tanya, learn the Braisa regarding the topic that we're speaking about before. Bikur Cholim in Lashir. There's no measurement for the mitzvah of visiting sick people. So the Gemara wonders, my in Lashir, what does it mean there's no measurement? So Sabra B'Yisrael Meimah, he thought to say, Ein Shir L'Matan Schar, there's no measurement for the amount of its reward. It's such a great mitzvah. So Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, and every other mitzvah, there is a measurement for the amount of the reward. But Vatanan, learn the Mishnah Maseches Avos that says, Hevezor b'mitzvah kala kevechamur, you should be careful with a light mitzvah, like a stringent mitzvah, she'ein ati yedea matan schar shel mitzvah, because you can't even fathom. You don't know the reward of the mitzvahs. So no mitzvah has a shir. So how can you say that Bikur Cholim is ein lo shir? Every mitzvah is like that. So Elam Abayi, rather, Abayi says what the halach is coming to say, and the Brice is, it means to say, afilu gadol eitz l'katan. It means to say that even an adult, a great person, to a small person, a great person shouldn't say, oh, I only visit people great like me. I don't go to visit small people. And that's what we're saying, that there's no shir, there's no discrimination, even a gadol to a katan. Rav Am, he gives a different interpretation. He says, afilu meyapam bayam, even 100 times a day, means there's no shir that you have to continuously visit, there's no limit. Now, moreover, Amr Ba'achar Barchanin, he says, Kolam Avakar Chayil, whoever visits a sick person, Neitil Echad Mishishim Bitzari, he takes 1/60th of that person's pain. Now, that Amr Levi said to him, and they asked, and Cain, if that's the case, a very simple solution. Lial and Shitin Bilukmur, let 60 people go and visit him, and boom, he's healed, because everyone takes a 60th away. So Amr Levi said to him, no. Kieser Yasod de Be Rebbe, we meant like the 10th. Of what was said in the yeshiva of Rebbe, meaning that every single woman takes 1/10 of their estate, what was left over from the previous one who took 1/10. In other words, and the same thing what we're applying over here in the halacha Bikur Cholim, is that every single one who visits takes 1/60th of the illness which is left over in the sick person after the previous person had visited him. That's one thing. Moreover, Uba ben Giloy. This whole halacha is not just any 60 people could walk in. It was only talking about somebody that's visiting that was born in the same mazel as this sick person. And therefore, those two requirements, and therefore it's not just so easy for 60 people to walk in and make him healthy. Now, the time, like, learn the Braisa, what's this 10th of the yeshiva of Rebbe? Rebbe said the following halacha. Said, Bas ha-nizayin is m'nichse achen, a daughter that gets fed from the estate of the brothers, meaning when the father dies and he leaves over children, so the boys inherit, but the daughters, they don't go starving, they get fed from the brothers, from the estate. Now, the halacha is, and they tell us, Isa Nechasim, they're getting married, they take 1/10 of the estate. Now, Amr Leila Rebbe, they said to Rebbe, Lidvarecha, according to your opinion, so Misha Yishle Esa Banas Ben, so someone that has 10 daughters and 1 son, Ain Leila Ben, but Mokim Banas Klum, it comes out that the son, who he's supposed to get everything because he gets the Yerusha, he's actually not going to get anything. Because the 10 daughters are each going to take 1/10, leaving him with nothing. So Amal Hani said to them, no. Rishayna and they tell us Is Nachasim. The way it works is as follows. The first one takes 1/10. Now, Shnia, the second one, doesn't take 1/10 of the original amount, but Masha Shaira, what's left over, she takes 1/10 of that. Shlisha is B'Masha Shaira, the third one takes 1/10 of that. And then Mechazer is V'chilkas B'Shava, and then they go back and they resplit it together. In other words, as the Ran explains, which is inherent in that sugi over there, that since they're all coming to take at the same time, they're getting married at the same time, therefore it's not appropriate that the first one who takes should get more than the last one because they're all getting married at the same time. So therefore, if let's say there's 100, so it's not like each one's taking 10. First one takes 10, which is 1/10. Now there's 90 left. 1/10 of 90 is 9, and so on. It goes further and further. Then they take a certain amount. That'll leave the son, let's say, with 60, 50, whatever the amount is are going to be, then whatever they take, which is going to be subsequently each one less than the other, then they go ahead and they split it evenly amongst the girls. But again, it's not a direct tenth of the original amount. It's from all subsequent amounts, a tenth of that. That's the same thing by a sick person. The first one takes a 60th, then the next person is taking a 60th of that. And therefore, even if you have 60 people, first of all, they have to be ben giloy, and second of all, 60 people is not going to heal the person because it's taking just a 60th of what's left over from the previous person. It's not from the original amount.